Hey everyone, I'm Jaden.
And I'm Noah.
And we are the Super Gamer Bros, and this is the Super Gamer Bros podcast. We're just a couple of brothers who love playing games and love talking about games, so that's what we do. And today, Noah. We are talking about Pokemon Colosseum.
Pokemon Colosseum is probably to this day in my top three favorite Pokemon games of all time. But that's me. I like 3D Pokemon, and this was one of the first. This is also a relevant topic because the new Pokemon games just dropped today or yesterday.
Yeah, and that was
And
completely unintentional on our parts.
yes, it was. My friends are trying to get me to buy the new Pokemon, but I still haven't started Sword. Anyway.
Well, I mean, it's not like a continuous story. You don't necessarily have to play
I
Sword to
know,
play,
I know.
Scarlet or Violet.
But I just finished Arceus. The Pokemon games to get through right now are too much. And that's why I love Pokemon Colosseum.
Pokemon Coliseum. Yeah, it's funny. Me, in terms of I guess thinking of Pokemon Coliseum, it's one of the few games that we played when we were kids that I never remember getting. It was just we always had it, right? You get what I'm saying?
I think we rented it or something at some point.
I feel like we owned it and then maybe, traded it in and then later rented it or something. I don't know. It was one of those, back when we would trade in games when we didn't want to play them, but then months
Right.
later we'd really want to play it again and be
So,
mad that we traded it in.
in basis, how would you describe it as like a
Well, it's a spin-off. It's not a main
yep.
Pokemon game. Which, talk about Pokemon in general. I give Pokemon a lot of credit that if you want to talk about every like gaming franchise,
Their spin-off games
their
are
spin-off
fire.
games are awesome. They have absolutely incredible spin-off games.
Yeah.
Pokemon Colosseum, the Pokemon like Rescue Team
Pokemon Snap.
series, Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Conquest.
Legends
So many.
Arceus.
I guess that is technically a spin-off. Pokemon spin-offs are awesome. But I will say of the spin-off games, it is the most like an original Pokemon game. Maybe
That is true.
Arceus. I would say maybe Arceus is more similar, but there are still a lot of differences in Arceus. But it is a very similar to that old style of Pokemon. So you're still playing kind of in terms of gameplay classic Pokemon, but it is a very different. Yeah, I mean honestly, it Colosseum is one of the first Pokemon games we ever played. Because the first Pokemon games we ever played are three were Leaf Green, Gold, which a friend of ours gave us, but I know for a fact we played Leaf Green before Gold, and then Pokemon Colosseum. And I honestly don't know if we played Leaf Green or Colosseum first. I would honestly guess it was Colosseum because we had a GameCube way before we ever had like a Game Boy Advance. So yeah, it is one of our earliest experiences with Pokemon. Anyway,
Right. I was gonna say what makes it stand out is many things that make it very unique from every other Pokemon game.
that is correct.
Right? Because every other Pokemon game we all know follows a very similar formula, even if the basis of the game has changed, even if you're not the trainer, it's still Pokemon and nothing about the world itself has really changed.
Yeah.
And in Pokemon Colosseum, it feels like a totally different world. I would compare it to like the grunge of
Oh
like
yeah, it's
those 2000s
like a Wild
games, like
West
the
Pokemon game.
Jak and Daxter type of vibe.
Yeah,
Yeah, like a
absolutely.
Wild West
Yeah,
Pokemon.
it is
Very cool.
certainly of all the Pokemon games, I think probably the most adult in terms of story. Like it is not, I mean, it is still obviously not, it's still a kid's game, but it is a very, I feel like, especially compared to kind of the main series, most of them, a very mature story. But yeah, let's get into it, man. So the setting. So Pokemon Colosseum is set in the Ore region. Ore is a mostly desertous region. So that's also something pretty unique. Deserts, I think Gen 5 has a big desert, but the Ore region is entirely desert, almost. Yeah, so one thing, in pretty sure that Colosseum, the only game to do this of every Pokemon game, which I think is what one thing that makes it incredibly unique, I guess with the exception of the sequel, but that's whatever. No wild Pokemon are found in the Ore region at all. I mean, it's straight up even a thing in the game. Like, oh, there aren't wild Pokemon here because it is a desert. Like, I don't, there just aren't a lot of resources. I don't know, just wild Pokemon are not found. The region consists of several towns, cities, and coliseums, which are basically, arenas where you fight, battle. Coliseum is also unique compared to other Pokemon games, as there are no routes to traverse between each location. Instead, you simply fast travel from place to place. So every place, no, what's a game to com what's a game that does that? I can't think.
That does what?
It's kind of like, I guess, first game that popped in my head that's like that is Lego Batman 3. There is, a bunch of small kind of areas that you explore, which, I mean, they could still be pretty large, but it's not open world. It's, you
Close
travel to
exploration.
this location. Yeah, closed exploration. Absolutely. Which, I guess is fine. I like the layout of the game. I think it's really cool.
I have actually found for myself that I much prefer closed exploration to true open world.
That is incredibly funny. I actually completely agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I think that's mostly for the perfectionist part. It makes it much easier to
That
perfect
is that
something.
is absolutely it as well. That is absolutely my reasoning. Yeah, I think smaller open explorable areas is preferable to literally being able to go anywhere. I do prefer that. Anyway, that's the setting. We'll go ahead and begin with the story. So I guess one thing that also is different with Colosseum, you don't have a rival. Instead, you have a companion. So your main character, like many other Pokemon games, you can name. The default name is Wes. That's what we're gonna call him. And the companion character you have is Rui. It's spelled Rui. I'm gonna say Rui because I
Yeah,
don't know how
Rui.
else you pronounce that. Yeah, Rui.
That's what I would say.
That's what I
I
would
was gonna
say.
say I do like the fact that you have a companion. I wish more Pokemon games on that did that.
Yeah, I think it is very cool. Again, I think the story is one of the biggest differences between Colosseum and other Pokemon games, and we'll go ahead and get into it. So the game begins with a cold open in which Wes infiltrates and destroys a Team Snag'em hideout before leaving the organization. Wes starts at the Outskirts Stand, a dilapidated train engine in the middle of the desert that has been converted into a shop. With Espeon and Umbreon, Wes's first opponent is a trainer named Willy. Wes then leaves the stand and heads to the Oasis-esque Fennac City in time to see two men dragging a sack. After defeating them in battle, Wes unties the sack to find Rui, a girl with the ability to discern shadow Pokemon. They meet the mayor, S. Cade, who seems very bothered about the cipher problem, but seems to do nothing about it. Later, upon leaving Fennac Coliseum, three Snag'em grunts find Wes and Rui. The grunts then reveal to Rui that Wes was a member of Snag'em and an excellent snagger. Wes then confronts one of the grunts, resulting in the grunt's defeat. Finding out that he is an expert at snagging Pokemon, Rui asks him to join forces with her in finding and snagging shadow Pokemon. All right, we're gonna pause. A lot to go through here.
I was gonna say, first of all, I don't know if it's bad translation, but we should change snagging and snagger. I don't like that at all. We should say like stealer, thief, Pokemon thief, something
Nah,
like that.
that's what it's called. I'm not. That's true. That's what it's called in the game. I will. It's called Team Snag'em. It's what they do.
Yeah, that should be changed too.
Several things I just want to touch upon here. One, your starting Pokemon. Two, you actually have two in this game. Different. Espeon and Umbreon. To this day, Espeon and Umbreon are two of my favorite Pokemon because of this game. I absolutely love Espeon and Umbreon.
Yeah, they completely stand out as starters, having the because every battle in the game is a double battle.
Correct. Yeah,
Espeon
and
and
even, yep,
excuse
sorry.
me, Espeon and Umbreon. Whenever I come across them or somebody talks about them, it makes me think of this game.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Yeah, it's really funny because, Umbreon is I think especially funny because, there was a time growing up where I watched PokeTubers, people on YouTube that play Pokemon games, specifically one, and this guy hated Umbreon. He hated Umbreon because Umbreon in Pokemon is a tank. It has very high defense, and especially whenever you fight an Umbreon in a Pokemon game, typically what it'll do is it'll take hits and it will poison your team. Like it has Toxic, which badly poisons your Pokemon, and then it's just so good at taking hits that it'll just outlast your Pokemon because of the poison. And this guy hated Umbreon to the point where he at one point finally played this game. And the second he saw Umbreon was one of the starters, he was so mad. He did everything. Like the second he could, he stopped using Umbreon because he hated Umbreon so much. Which always was like funny to me, but upsetting because I love Umbreon so much because of this game. So that's, yeah, that's the first thing I wanted to talk about. Umbreon, Espeon, great Pokemon, love them, 10 out of 10. Also, in this game, and only this game, you play as a bad guy, sort of.
An ex-bad guy, he's reformed.
Yeah, Wes was a member of Snag'em, and he got, you know, because what,
There's
I don't
so many
think,
things to unpack in this first
yeah, I don't think, I'm gonna
section.
go ahead, I don't think it talks about it anywhere here, but, you know, basically, Snag'em's whole thing,
Right.
is they invented a device that allows them to catch other trainers' Pokemon, you know, snag them, as you would say in game. And yeah, so they
Which is already like a twisted,
absolutely in a game with no
very,
wild
very
Pokemon.
twisted thing. There's no other Pokemon game in existence where you could do that.
Oh yeah,
Or, I mean,
absolutely. It's a
except for the other
huge,
one, the
absolutely, it
sequel.
is. Yes, it is a huge no-no. And yeah, that's something that Wes did, and he's reformed now. And yeah, I just think that I think that's such a cool concept. I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
It is really cool, but without wild Pokemon, it very much limits. I'm sure we'll get there.
You're correct. It is both a positive and a negative, which yeah, we could talk about that later. But yeah, I think that we'll go ahead and just continue with the story here. Unless, Noah, did you have something else to add?
No, that was pretty good. I do really like the story of this Pokemon game is also very different. You know, it has nothing to do with professors or trainers or
Yeah.
gyms.
None of that. None of that
It
at
kind of
all.
changes the gyms to the Colosseums, of course, but the Colosseums are also treated very differently than a gym is, which we'll get to.
Absolutely. All right. As the game progresses, Wes becomes a target of a powerful organization known as Team Cipher. After leaving Fennec, he visits Pyrite Town, where Rui was kidnapped. In Pyrite, Shadow Pokemon are openly offered to winners of the town's Colosseum tournament. The local police force is powerless to stop the practice, so Duking, an influential man in Pyrite, asks Wes to enter the tournament and investigate. Wes enters the Colosseum Challenge and defeats four trainers to win. Inside a nearby building, a Cipher peon is about to present the Shadow Pokemon prize, but another one recognizes Wes. The pair then battle their way through the building and a maze-like cave set in the rock behind. Eventually, they face and defeat Mirror B, one of four Cipher admins. Afterward, Wes returns a Pokemon Mirror B stole from Duking, and a team of kids working in Duking's house introduce themselves as members of an anti-Cipher news network known as the Kids Grid, who pledge their help to Wes and Rui. Their next stop is Agate Village, a forested village in the mountains. As Rui introduces Wes to her grandfather, Egan, another villager runs into the room, telling them that the Relic Stone, a shrine protected by Celebi, is under attack. Wes, following Egan to the center of the tree, fights off four Cipher agents before the Relic Stone is safe. After resting, Wes is given access to the Relic Stone, the only place where he can purify Shadow Pokemon. After receiving an email from Duking about Mount Battle being under attack by Cipher, Rui asks Egan where it is, and the two head over there. Upon reaching Mount Battle, people inform Wes and Rui that Cipher has already taken over the first section of the mountain. After battling nine other trainers, Wes battles the Cipher administrator, Dakim.
The
Sorry,
king.
Daki. I'm not going to call him that.
But what does he own?
Sorry, Dakim owns a Shadow Entei, who is one of the trio of legendary beasts. After defeating Dakim, Wes heads to the Under, which is an underground city located beneath Pyrite Town, and under control of Cipher. More members of the Kids Grid are here, and they tell the players of Venus, another Cipher administrator who has influence over the Under. After Wes confronts Venus, the owner of the second legendary beast, Suicune, she flees. Next, Wes and Rui head to the Shadow Pokemon Lab, where Pokemon are transformed into Shadow Pokemon. After defeating numerous Cipher peons, Wes faces Ein, the final Cipher administrator and the owner of the final legendary beast, Raikou.
Raikou.
It's right. It's pronounced Raikou in the Pokemon rap, Noah. So
Well,
check
but I was taking it from the
yourself.
show.
No, it's pronounced Raikou in the Pokemon rap. Listen to the Pokemon rap. Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all. Although that's the one where they.
Continue.
That's the second gen one where they. The chorus goes like P O K E M O N parties. Pokemon party. Anyway. Wes and Rui then go to Relgum Tower. All four administrators are there and ready to face Wes again. After doing so,
Whoa.
he is granted what?
That's messed up.
What?
They're just back again after we already beat them.
Back again. After doing so, he is granted access to the Colosseum at the top of the building. There he is greeted by a large crowd. A Cypherman named Nascor tells Wes that he will have to face four trainers. After Wes defeats all four, Nascor fights him. Once defeated, Nascor tries to leave, only to be interrupted by S. Cade. If you don't remember who S. Cade is, because we certainly didn't, he was the mayor in the first town. S. Cade reveals that he is really none other than Evis, the head of Cypher, and battles Wes. When Wes defeats him, Evis attempts to escape by helicopter, but the legendary Pokemon Ho-Oh swoops in and blasts it out of the sky. Evis and Nascor are sent to jail. And that's the story.
That's
Now,
crazy. But it's that classic trope of the first person you meet is the bad guy.
yeah, absolutely. Now, this is the best story in any Pokemon game. Hands down, I think.
That's his opinion.
I think it absolutely is. I would say maybe the fifth gen Pokemon game stories are better. I really like the stories of those, specifically Black and White. But I absolutely love the story of this game. I thought it was very deep. It was just awesome.
Yes, it was fantastic. One of the best Pokemon games of all time.
Yes. Yeah, I just think it's an absolutely incredible story. Well, I don't know. Now, if you have nothing else to say about the story, why don't we continue on into the gameplay?
I actually did have one more thing to say about the
Oh,
story.
sure, go ahead.
I wanted to say that this is one of those games where we had to go back and play later, and maybe use walkthroughs and whatnot and such. There are sections where it's confusing on what you're supposed to do. They don't give a lot of mission direction sometimes. You know what I mean? That's just one of the things I wanted to. I mean, I guess that's not really story related, but it's like quest related.
I mean, I guess I can sort of agree with that. I think that also just kind of
Especially
factors
like
into.
when you first get to the town with Escade.
Yeah, I guess I can get that. I think it's more of us just kind of not being used to how RPGs work when we like we're playing this game. Because, a big part of really any Pokemon game is talk to every NPC you meet, and that's kind of how you learn things, and that's something that we didn't really do. Like, I'm sure if you played it now, you probably would not have any trouble with it.
I definitely played it not that long ago, and I
Oh
still
dear.
had trouble with it.
Oh dear. Anyway, no, I agree. There were
So you're
absolutely
just
times
calling
we
me
got
stupid?
yes, I am.
So gameplay.
Yeah. Hey, stupid, tell us about the gameplay. That was funny, right? Yeah.
So Pokemon battling. All right. It's a Pokemon game. That's not new to anybody. It's turn-based combat. Like I said, every battle in this game is a double Pokemon battle. Some Pokemon games are like that. I actually kind of almost prefer it because I feel like it makes the battles go by faster. But I don't know. Each Pokemon has a designated type or types. Rock, paper, scissors type of setup. Contrary to the main series Pokemon game. Oh, the game consists almost entirely of double battles. Well, great redundancy.
Well, I didn't know you were going to say it before reading what I carefully typed out here for you.
Okay, well, let me talk about catching Pokemon then.
Well, hold on. No, I want to talk about the battles a bit more.
Oh, what about? They're pretty standard.
Well, I just want to talk about, as you said, the game consists, almost entirely of double battles. I also actually really like that. But to me, it's not necessarily that the battles go faster, although they do go faster than single battles. I like it because I think double battles require a lot more strategy because there are moves, in Pokemon that affect every Pokemon. In like a double battle, for example, like Surf, if you use Surf, it hits both enemy Pokemon. There are some moves that will hit even your ally Pokemon if you use it in a double battle. So, you have to kind of be careful with stuff like that. I do like double battling. I think yeah, there's a bit more strategy into what you're doing with that.
I did want to say it does look amazing. I do love the visuals, the Pokemon moves, the the visual effects of the moves themselves, the water, the fire, all of it is very, very cool looking. And it never gets old. Like, I love playing through this entire game. Anywho.
No, absolutely.
Oh, catching Pokemon. Like we said, this is the most unique feature of this game. Catching Pokemon is unlike most other Pokemon games. Colosseum does not have wild Pokemon, no random Pokemon encounters, none of that. You meet the set Pokemon you have in the battles against the trainers in the game, and that's it. So those battles are precious both for XP and for farming Pokemon. The player begins the game with two Pokemon. Like we said, it's Umbreon and Espeon. More are obtained throughout the game by snagging them from other trainers using Pokeballs of various strengths. Only specifically designated shadow Pokemon can be caught. So even though these are bad guys, if it's not a shadow Pokemon, you can't snag it. It has to be a shadow Pokemon. So in that essence, shadow Pokemon are a thing you like to see because they're an opportunity.
Yeah.
Didn't talk about shadow Pokemon. Oh
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll go
and
ahead and talk about it.
your opinion of snagging, I guess.
I'll say I do again, it's a very unique concept and I absolutely love that. My only issue with it is there aren't a lot of Pokemon to catch. I would say like because you don't just battle the evil people, you know, you battle random trainers. You know, most random trainers don't have shadow Pokemon, and even I would say maybe half, but I imagine even less of the bad guys have shadow Pokemon, and they'll have one at most. So it really kind of you're very, very limited in the Pokemon you can get in this game. And like it kind of sucks. There are a lot of cool Pokemon you fight that, you know, they throw them out and you're like, oh my God, please be a shadow Pokemon, please. I hope so. And then it's not. And that's just kind of frustrating. So it is kind of again, it's something cool, but I wish there were more shadow Pokemon in the game because it does very much limit the amount of Pokemon you can have. And unfortunately, you know, not all of them are cool. There are some major duds in here that, like, yeah, I guess I'll catch it because it's a shadow Pokemon, but I'm not going to use it kind of thing. I feel like that
Yeah, like
happens a decent
Greko.
amount. Yeah, I know. But yeah, that's just something that's kind of a bit disappointing in
So,
regards to that.
Jaden, what are shadow Pokemon?
Well, Noah, let me tell you about shadow Pokemon right now. Shadow Pokemon are Pokemon that have been experimented on by Cypher and have had their hearts closed, is how the game kind of describes it.
Oh.
So when you catch a shadow Pokemon, the shadow Pokemon has a purple gauge, kind of where its experience bar would be, that is drained by battling and coming to like the player. So it kind of works in this in the same way of, you know, in the main series games you have friendship, which is funny enough, is actually needed to evolve Eevee into Espeon and Umbreon. I wonder if that was planned. And you know, friendship, it's basically like, you know, how much your Pokemon cares about you, how close your bond is. And so the way you purify shadow Pokemon is by basically kind of doing that same thing. The more you battle with them, it decreases that meter to the point where their hearts can be open. Once the Pokemon's gauge is empty, the player may purify the Pokemon by bringing him or her to Celebi's shrine in a gate village. You only get a couple of these in the game, rare items called Time Flutes, which allow you to purify any shadow Pokemon, no matter how closed its heart is, at any point, I'm pretty sure. So while in shadow Pokemon mode, they often disobey the player. And they cannot gain experience points. Very important there. And also, they have restricted moves. At first, the only move they have is Shadow Rush, which I believe damages the Pokemon that uses it, as well as the Pokemon you target. So all in all, those three things kind of make it very annoying to get Shadow Pokemon because they don't level up. So while enemy Pokemon get stronger as you go along, that Pokemon is going to stay at the same level until you purify it. I honestly don't remember. When you purify it, portion, if not all of the experience they would have gone, does go to them. So they do automatically will get at least a level or two boost when you purify them. But admittedly, it's very annoying. Oh, another thing. Shadow Pokemon will sporadically enter hyper mode state during battle, which causes them to disobey the player character or even attack themselves until the condition is alleviated by selecting the call battle command. So again, that paired with everything else makes it kind of annoying to purify them because, again, without wild Pokemon encounters, the only way you can battle is by battling trainers, and you can kind of rebattle old trainers that you've already fought, but it does make the whole grinding aspect of this game more annoying than, say, a main series Pokemon game. And yeah, I mean, they damage themselves, and you know, if they faint, that's just annoying because you got to heal them before you can continue leveling up that gauge to purify them. But yeah, again, it's something that it's a cool concept, and I like it, but at the same time, there are aspects of it that are annoying.
It can be annoying, but I really like the added layer because it really makes each shadow Pokemon you catch special, you know, because you only have that one, no matter what Pokemon it is. So I really liked it. I like the process of, you know, getting a Pokemon and then working it down so I could purify it. I just thought it was a really cool concept.
Yeah, I think it's cool. As I said, I just wish it took a bit less time. And
I get
as
that.
you do with them only knowing Shadow Rush, which obviously hurts them, which is annoying. As you do get them more and more purified, they do learn more of their old moves that don't hurt them, which you know makes it so it makes it easier as you the more you battle with them. And if they go into hyper mode and you call them to get them out of it, it does actually takes out a pretty significant portion of that bar. So it's like hyper mode is kind of annoying because you have to waste a turn calling them and they just hurt themselves or whatever. But it does bring down that meter a decent size. But overall, yeah, I think it's a very, very cool concept. All right, Noah. Now, of course, what is Pokemon without battling? Pokemon battling. This also very much kind of a standout game to us for the fact of we could battle each other, and that is not something you could do in the main series Pokemon games.
No, I've never played another Pokemon game where you could battle each other locally on co-op.
Yeah, I mean the Pokemon Stadium games you can obviously, but those are, you know, older
I haven't played those.
N64.
But I was
I
going to
know,
say the
but
models from this game are ripped directly from Pokemon Stadium.
that they are the first and second gen models, which is why they look way worse than the third gen models. Little fun
Yes,
fact for
sir.
all you Pokéfreaks out there.
Ew.
Okay.
Yeah, so what makes Colosseum battles special, though?
So there are basically two different. So you have, you know, on your main menu, you have your story and you have battle mode. Battle mode, once you get in there are two different kind of overall large categories. There is the Colosseum battle, where you can battle against computers or other people and use Pokemon obtained in the story or just random Pokemon. We love this mode. We would battle each other a lot. We would always do random Pokemon because it would give you Pokemon that you couldn't get in story. Again, the story Pokemon very limited, so random Pokemon give you a lot more fun options.
It was really cool, and you could have a few legendaries on your team, and you would pick out which ones you want. It was a really fun mode.
Absolutely.
And like Jaden said, it felt fresh after playing the story.
Yes. Also, there is the solo battle mode. So basically, you would register Pokemon that are on your team in story. If you went to, you know, the Pokemon PCs, everyone knows what they are. You would have like category where you'd put Pokemon on your team, specifically to use in this battle mode. And you battle against, it's just you battling against CPUs, either in the Colosseum or Battle Mountain. Colosseum battle is basically, it's like the Colosseum battles in the story. It's just a small tournament. Typically, you know, like four battles, you win it, you know, you win, you move on to the next round, blah, 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 and you win a tournament. Good for you. And then there's Battle Mountain. In Battle Mountain, again, it is like the Battle Mountain section in the story. You fight 100 trainers in a row. You can, you know, save and quit at any time after any trainer and come back to it, but there are 100 battles.
I think it's cool.
It's really cool. I'll never say no to more Pokemon battling, and that's all this is. And in doing solo battle mode, you unlock Poke Coupons, which get you rare items for use in story mode, such as like TMs and other rare items. I do think it's cool that doing this does get you stuff in the story, especially TMs, very useful letting you teach Pokemon, specific moves and stuff. Noah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay. It's so grindy in reality, but in theory, it's epic. Getting through it is fun, but after doing it the first time, I really did not want to do it again. Because for story mode, it was pretty rough. But it's like you said, that's all the whole game is, so you just keep battling.
Well, I mean, that's all any Pokemon game is. That's why you play Pokemon, is for the battling. So,
Yes, but
Pokemon battling.
usually they disguise it much better around differences of environment and stuff like that, but when
Or
you
like
just keep going up a set of stairs to the
different
same
scenarios and stuff.
platform, yeah, you know what I mean.
I got you. I got you. It's certainly I remember us having frustrating moments being like, surely this is the last one, right? And it just would keep going on and on.
Right, because they don't tell you how much it's going to be.
Yeah, I also think initially with Battle Mountain, we did not know you could save it. So we were going just up against trainer after trainer after trainer, just hoping for it to end because we thought, oh, we can't turn the game off. We won't be able to continue it and stuff.
That's stupid.
Yeah, well, we were stupid.
That's true. So questions.
Yeah, so now we
That's the
move on to
game.
our, so that, yeah, that's the game. That's it. It is a very simple game. There is not a lot to it. But it is still one of our favorites, I think, Noah. So now we'll go ahead. We're going to get into our questions. Favorite moments, Noah.
Well, my favorite moment was probably stealing Pokemon from people.
You mean snagging?
Right, yes. That is definitely what I mean. It just is like the dirtiest trick I've ever seen in a Pokemon game, and it was used by the protagonist. I just think it's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big, big no-no, trying to catch other trainers' Pokemon.
It's messed up.
It is messed up, man. Which, but you know, at the same time, like it's technically you're doing a good thing because, you're saving these
Right,
shadow
you're
Pokemon
purifying their
from.
hearts. They make it story reasons, whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it flies altogether. That's why it's allowed to happen. It's still the only game that's done that, as far as I know.
That is, yeah, as far as I know, that is correct. My favorite moment is purifying the shadow Pokemon, and I don't mean like I mentioned earlier, the actual build up to it is whatever, but it is very cool when you take the your Pokemon to the shrine, and Celebi comes in, and they're purified, and they get their XP, they get they replace Shadow Rush with one of their actual moves. It is, I've, you know, it just like it, you feel like all of your hard work is paid off, and it is incredibly, I think, satisfying moment when you do it.
No, absolutely. Celebi is one of the rarest Pokemon to see.
That is
And
correct.
the fact that you get to see Celebi every time you purify a shadow Pokemon is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Favorite boss battle, Noah.
My favorite boss battle are the three boss battles where we get the legendary trio, actually.
I get you. Dakim, Ein, and that other chick.
Yeah, I don't remember the battles themselves. I just like fighting shadow versions of legendary Pokemon. I was like, wow, they caught a legendary Pokemon and corrupted them. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think
And
it's
then you have to purify the shadow, the legendary Pokemon. Like, you have to work with them just like any other Pokemon.
Yeah, I think yeah, it's certainly awesome having them with the Pokemon and the three beasts, Suicune, Entei, and Raikou, are some of my favorite legends. Like we've always loved those legends, I thought it was very interesting, seeing that because they're second gen, but getting those three in every Pokemon game they appear in is a chore. And typically, you can only get one at a time anyway. So the fact that you could get all three in the same game was really, really cool.
Yes. Miscellaneous things you liked.
Well, for me, oh, no, I got my favorite boss battle. You didn't even let me talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did talk about it. My bad. My bad. Go ahead.
No. Mirror B. Mirror B is one of the greatest characters in any video game ever. I love Mirror B so much. Guy dresses like he just walked out of a disco party with his half red, half white afro, his fabulous outfit. He's always dancing. His entire battle is straight up just against like four ludicolos that all are dancing and have rain dance. He is just one of the coolest characters
It's
ever.
iconic.
I love one of the most iconic characters in all of Pokemon. I feel like Mirror B, awesome character, love him. And it's just great. I love Mirror B. Yeah, and then I'll go ahead my miscellaneous things I liked. A big one for me, playing as more of an anti-hero. In all the main series Pokemon games, you were playing as, a 10-year-old kid who got their first Pokemon and is going on an adventure and somehow winds up fighting, all of these, getting mixed up with all these gangs and going to the Elite Four and all that stuff, just trying to become a good Pokemon trainer. And that's it. That's all you do. In this game, you were a member of Team Snag'em. You wear a duster jacket. You ride a motorcycle, and you are trying to, atone for your past misdeeds. I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, it is a cool step away from the chosen one motif.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right word.
No,
But
that's I think that worked. That worked. I think you used that correctly.
you know what I mean. The fact that it's like you said, you're usually the kid who's like, hey, you're the 10-year-old who is destined to come in here and fix every one of the universe's problems. And you just do the right thing the whole way through without question for no reason. You know, they never ask for anything in return and they just do anything anybody asks of them. And this character is much more realistic in both their dialogue and their past. I think it's just a very well-written Pokemon game, and I just think it was well done. And its differences are what make it shine to me. A miscellaneous thing I liked was that you don't pick starters. You start out with Espeon and Umbreon, who are both fully evolved and leveled up okay at the beginning. So they're solid Pokemon and they work well together.
Yeah, I
I used
100%
them for a
agree.
long time. Yeah, like
Yeah.
this
I mean, I
developed
used
my
them
love
like
for
the whole
Espeon
game.
and exactly.
Yeah, I think, they were both introduced in Gen 2, so I think a lot of people kind of pair them together because of that, but I like to me it's always Espeon and Umbreon. Like it's weird to see one and not the other because of this game. To me they're always kind of together. Also, I also want to talk about the music. The music in this game kicks ass.
I
The
almost mentioned it. I forgot.
Specifically, I want to talk about the Pyrite Town theme music. When you arrive there, it starts with just some snapping, and then the instruments kick in. One of my favorite songs in any game ever is the Pyrite Town theme song, and just the music in this game all around is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that cannot be understated. You know, you're spending most of your time walking around these towns. Nobody's talking. It's all very silent. And the only thing you hear is the soundtrack. And the soundtrack in every single level of this game is very entertaining. It all sounds great, in my opinion. I think it's memorable and it really fits the mood of the location you're in. I think it just adds a lot, does a great job.
Absolutely. What we didn't like about the game, Noah?
I didn't like that you had to. I mean, this isn't a huge problem with me. I'm just going to say I didn't like that you had to repeat battles with trainers. And I have frequently said that that is a benefit to Pokemon games and it would make grinding a lot easier because you get a lot more XP from beating a trainer than a wild Pokemon usually. I don't know. You could just add more trainers.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That is one of my kind of things is the fact that grinding is kind of a pain because there's just not a lot of people that you fight, and then even then there's like even less that you can actually rebattle. It's just enemy Pokemon get stronger. Like you cannot beat this game if you just go through and fight everybody once, kind of as you're playing through the story. It is literally impossible. You cannot do it. And just grinding is a real pain. It's just very slow going compared to other Pokemon games. And then additionally, for me, it's something we talked about earlier, so not really going to say too much about it now. just not enough Pokemon. You get a very small amount of Pokemon. I would say throughout the whole game, there's probably less than 30 that you can catch. And if you mess up on some, that's it. Like most trainers that have shadow Pokemon, you can rebattle them and capture it. But for example, like the legends, which I guess that is kind of how it works in the main series too. If you screw up catching one of those legends, you accidentally kill it, or because the stupid move Shadow Rush does damage to the Pokemon that uses it, it kills itself. Then, hope you have a backup save to redo that fight, that very annoying fight, because otherwise you just lost out on a legendary Pokemon and that's it.
That does happen, but that does happen in a lot of Pokemon games.
Yeah. And it's no less annoying in this one. But I would also argue it's even more annoying because you're fighting this Pokemon in a double battle, where there are other Pokemon attacking you, as you're trying to catch this Pokemon. It
Yep,
can
that is another difficulty.
be real annoying, man.
About that replayability.
I mean, yeah, sure. My only issue is like in a world where I had, I didn't have to work or whatever, or I could, my job was playing video games and I could play whatever games I wanted whenever I wanted. I would absolutely play this game again. It is one of, I'll go ahead and pair this in with my final thoughts here. It is one of, it probably just my favorite Pokemon game overall. Absolutely great game. It's just it does take a bit to get through, a bit of time that I just don't have the free time with my life currently as it is, that I would probably pick it up and play it over playing a game I have not played, which is unfortunate because I really do like the game.
I am gonna say I would not replay it. It is replayable, but I personally would not replay it. It is
Gotcha.
just very grindy, and that's unavoidable, but that's true for every Pokemon game. I would in fact play the sequel, which I have never played. So that's about all I would explore more for in this game.
I get what you're saying.
Oh, but I'll do my final thoughts. That being said, the game Pokemon Colosseum is still one of my favorite Pokemon games of all time because of how unique it is. And I just really like Pokemon games that stray from the basic formulas and add twists and differences. And this game does a lot of that. So I think every Pokemon fan should experience this game at some point. All right, now we move on to the indie bit, the bit where we talk about indie games.
Yay!
Today, we are talking about Moving Out. Pretty basic. Moving Out is a game where you play as characters in a moving company, basically, and you're going house to house in a neighborhood, and you go in and you basically remove everything that's for points, like the TVs, the couches, chairs, beds, like movers do.
Yeah, it's like a designated list.
Right, exactly. And you're rushing because there's a timer, so you're trying to get in and get out of the house as quick as you can and get the things into the truck. So this is a couch co-op, definitely meant for co-op. They add twist levels where sometimes there's like animals attacking you and other things going on. There's weird furniture and stuff you have to figure out. You can throw things, you can jump through windows. There's missions where you have to corral chickens and cows and stuff. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But this is, in essence, a basic party game. I think it's fun as co-op only. It would not be fun single player at all. I like it, but it can be stressful if you're trying to perfect it. So I imagine that might have an effect on your opinion, but what do you think?
Well, let me tell you, Noah, I talk about, it's a game. Very much, I agree, it's a game that you would want to play. You can play with up to four players, which I think would be very interesting to try out. I'll tell you, my journey with Moving Out did not start off on a good note, as I had to spend a lot of time convincing Haley to play a video game with me. She did not want to.
Hey, not everybody loves games.
Yeah, she was like, no, it's going to be like Overcooked. It's going to be too stressful. You're going to yell at me. Wah, wah, I don't want to play it. So it took a lot of convincing for me to get her to agree to actually play the game. When we actually played the game, it's fun. I actually really enjoyed it. I think it's very simple. I think that really helps it. especially compared to like an Overcooked, at least, because admittedly, haven't beaten every level. It could potentially get way more complicated than it has been so far. But, as we're going through playing these levels, it's very simple. It's, you press the triangle button on PlayStation to see, what items you need to grab. You grab them, you put them in the truck. You have to make sure they're kind of put there in a way that everything fits. You do have a time limit, but again, if you're not going for completion, because there is, bronze, gold, silver times, if you're not going for completion, just beating the levels is not hard to do. You have plenty of time, which I do think if I can get Haley to, I would actually like to play this game for completion. I think it would be fun. But yeah, I mean, it's very basic. It's, teamwork required. It's a fun game. I enjoy it. Yeah, I'd recommend it. It's fun. If you know at least one other person that you guys like having fun, just kind of messing around with the slightly wonky physics and frantically trying to move a house, it's a fun time. Fun time.
There you go. I would call that a successful indie bit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What is the next indie bit?
No, the next indie bit game we're going to play is called Hue.
Oh, God.
Hue, Hue. I'll admit I know nothing about this game. I was looking for games. I saw a picture of a guy surrounded by a circle of colors and thought, yes.
I
So
really feel like you just dig through your own library until you see a game you haven't played yet and want to.
that's partially correct. There are a lot of games that I pass up because of the fact that I think they're just a little too long. Having a limited time to play games, only having 2 weeks to play through an entire game. I aim for games that are shorter for the most part.
All right, so that'll be next episode.
So next episode, yeah, we will talk about Hue. Anyway, so before we wrap up here, Noah, we got to 100 followers on Instagram.
Woo.
Woo! We made it, right? That means we made it.
There is no making it.
No, we made it.
Okay.
We may have, yeah, we made it. If anyway, if you know, but it, when I die on my tombstone, I just wanted to say he made it.
That's why you'll be cremated.
Absolutely. Anyway,
All right, next.
yeah, but that's cool. 100 Instagram followers. That's just really cool that we did that.
Well, because neither of us have really ever used social media before.
That is absolutely correct.
That's what makes it cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is funny.
I mean, it's also nice knowing that, I mean, I don't know how long the first, I don't know, maybe the first 15 or so episodes, the first half a year we did this podcast, probably we used Twitter and literally never got a single follower.
That is rude. I forgot
Mainly,
that
I
we
mean,
choose Twitter.
switching to Instagram and getting to 100 followers. Yeah, it's cool. I like it. If you're listening and you follow us on Instagram, thanks. And if you're listening, you don't follow us on Instagram, no thanks. I don't know. I was I was trying to think of something
I
clever.
was
It didn't work
worried
out.
about what you were going to say. Yeah.
I was just
I
no
thought you were just
thanks.
going to be straight like off. I don't know.
No, I don't. It's fine.
Yeah, obviously.
I
Anyway.
care much more about people listening to the podcast and just following us on Instagram.
Yeah, no, it's cool all around.
It is cool all around. Anyway, don't forget new episodes every other Monday. Rate and subscribe. Tell us if you like our show or tell us if you don't. And tell us why. Tell your friends and enemies about the podcast. And you can follow our 100 Instagram followers Instagram, the Super Gamer Bros, for updates on everything we do. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, Super Gamer Bros. That is one word, capital S, capital G, capital B, period at the end, where we upload videos every Friday. Our two most recent videos being part eight of our Let's Play of Crash Bandicoot on the Insane Trilogy, where I am making my way through that fun time. And part nine of our LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga playthrough, where we started Empire Strikes Back. Anyway, yeah, go check those out. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next game.
Bye.